The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm going to reveal today an expanded strategy for getting the movie out to the widest possible audience. I'm also going to address a couple of the intelligent objections that have been raised to the film, including one coming from a European conservative source. Julie Kelly has an article, a first-person interview with one of the Whitmer kidnapping defendants, and I want to start telling you this remarkable story. Debbie's going to join me. We're going to talk about current events, and I'm also going to reveal Dante as a new type of crusader. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Show.
Needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
I've got some big news about 2000 Mules, guys. So this Friday, May 20th, the movie is going to be in the theater. It's going back into the theater, but it's going back into the theater in a new way. The first time we were in the theater, we rented out theaters, about 300 of them, and the movie showed for just 2 days on a 7 p.m. showing. And essentially what we did is we bought out the theater, we recovered some of our costs through by selling tickets. This is not like that. What happened is with the success of the movie, everyone talking about the movie, a lot of independent theaters began to call us, hey, why can't we have this movie in the theater? And we were like, you know what, this is fantastic. A lot of our people love to see the movie in groups. Love to see it in the theater. In fact, we've been bombarded with people trying to organize groups. Hey, how do we organize a group showing? And of course, organizing a group showing both privately or in a theater is really difficult. Because if you're doing it privately, how do you get the acoustics to work? If you're doing it with a theater, you got to negotiate with that theater manager. It becomes an unbelievably complex operation. So this is wonderful. This Friday, May 20th, about 400 theaters are going to open 2000 Mules as a normal release. And what I mean by that is four showings a day. And this is not a case where you have to go at 7 p.m. You can go whenever you want. And you buy tickets also the normal way. So what you do is you go to our website, which is 2000mules.com, and it will connect you to the ticket buying sites like Atom or Fandango. There are a couple of others. And then when you go to Fandango, you sort of search the local theater near you. It'll pop right up. You buy tickets. And this is a way. So you don't need now to organize special screenings per se. Just organize you and your friends. Organize you and your Women's Republican group. You can kind of go as a group and you can see it in the theater starting this Friday in a normal release. So not just Friday or Saturday or Sunday, the movie is going to keep going in the theater as long as it has a successful...
It actually starts Thursday night.
Debbie says there are some early showings. You'll see this when you go to Fandango on Thursday night. It's customary for a movie when it opens Friday. It'll sometimes have some showings Thursday. So yes, the formal opening is Friday. You might be able to catch it on Thursday. Now, what I think is wonderful about this is that, of course, first of all, it's the normal price of a movie ticket. And so it makes the movie accessible to more people. It's less costly to see the movie. And second of all, you can see it, as I say, at your local theater in a group. Now, admittedly, we're in 400 theaters, so not everybody's going to be able to go to the theater. And so, in order to sort of match that on the digital download and rental site, I've decided to lower the price of the movie just to make it so that pretty much anyone can see it. And so, effective at 1 p.m. Eastern today, which is to say, right now, you can go either to Salem Now. This is salemnow.com, the Salem site. And on salemnow.com, you can rent the movie for $14.99, or you can buy it for $19.99. The other option, of course, is Rumble Locals, and that site is called just 2000mules.locals.com. Of course, you can still sign up for my local subscription, and you'll get the movie. And if you buy an annual subscription, you get the movie for free. You can stream the movie and watch it for $19.99. So I think this meets the concerns of some people. We got some people who said, "Hey, listen, you know, I'm on a fixed income, and I find the $29.99 price kind of steep." So we're like, "Okay, look, you know, we kind of had to put the price higher at the beginning. Why? Because these movies are really expensive. I mean, they're not just expensive to make. This movie cost a couple of million dollars to make, but it cost $3 million to market. So we're like $5 million out before the movie even appears. And so, and not to mention the fact that this was a case where we couldn't release the movie in the normal way. We could only put it on uncancelable platforms. We couldn't advertise it the normal way. So do appreciate the difficulties that we have in getting these things done. We can't function kind of in a capitalist market if we can't get a return on the movie that we can then repay our investors. We've not been able to do that with Trump Card. I was a little afraid about whether I could even do movies going forward. Happily, this movie is a big success, and you're a big part of that. I hope you appreciate now that it's in the theater. Take your group, organize a bunch of friends, go see it together. I think it's really a great way to see the movie. But also, if you want to watch it at home, want to watch it on your TV. By the way, to watch it on your TV with Rumble, you need to connect your, you need to have the same email on Rumble and Locals. And then there is a way, if you have a Rumble app and the Rumble app is on your TV, you can watch the movie on your TV. And there are details about this on Rumble. So, bottom line, 2,000 Mules is, well, the phrase in the movie business is going wide. I want to make it go wide for so that everyone can see it. By the way, don't look for one of these. There are a few pirated links up about the movie. Please don't watch those. Those are actually kind of a form of theft. And it's very difficult for me to justify and defend those. Look, if you're a guy and you don't have the income and you find it on a pirated site and you can't afford it, I'm not going to complain about it. But I'm saying this is not the right way to watch a movie to make movies viable for conservatives like me to make. I'm making it affordable for you, so put up a little bit of money and go see it that way. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are offering a BOGO, that's buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go-anywhere pillows, and a whole bunch else. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Dinesh, or call 800-876-0227. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You also will get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-876-0227 or go to MyPillow.com to get the discounts. You need to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H, Dinesh. We're now seeing, sort of 2 weeks into 2,000 Mules, a number of critiques in the movie. Initially, it was just the fact checkers, and the fact checkers clearly were out of their league. They, A, had a very limited understanding of geo-tracking, and B, had a very limited understanding of state laws, which vary on elections. And so, for example, they would say things like, well, vote harvesting is legal. Well, no, vote harvesting is not legal everywhere. It's legal in some states, and even in states that allow it, the conditions are normally quite restrictive. So my question is for the fact checkers, did you look at the ballot harvesting law in Wisconsin? Did you look at it in Michigan, in Pennsylvania? Did you look at the nuances of these laws? No, the answer is no. So the 20 and 30-something fact checkers are in too deep. And that became really obvious early on. But then there emerged a kind of second round of critique, some of these coming by the sort of Never Trumper types or even the kind of GOP skeptics, you would say. I'm actually holding a very interesting article. It's in a publication called The European Conservative, europeanconservative.com. A very sophisticated and friendly, but not an uncritical assessment. And I think what I'm going to do this week is I'm going to take kind of day by day one theme, one point, and try to address it. and answer it. And the critics are, well, of course, there's Ben Shapiro. I mentioned Ben Shapiro the last time, but of course, I didn't do a response to his entire critique. In fact, I've only seen so far part of the critique. Part of the reason is I'm like on the move all the time. I was at the American Freedom Tour on Saturday in Austin. I then flew to Milwaukee, where I was part of this big screening that Turning Point Action put on for the movie. 1,000 people there. I mean, they were wild. They were not standing ovations. People had all brought all kinds of signs and so on. So it was a tremendous, almost a carnival atmosphere, but a carnival with atmosphere with some sobriety built into it. So I mentioned Ben Shapiro. There's apparently a woman named Crystal Ball. I mean, I don't know if this is her real name, Crystal Ball, really. What is this, a stage name? Or here's the other possibility. Her last name is Ball. Ball is a normal name. I mean, Dan Ball of One America News and so on. Her parents just thought, how about Crystal? They're having a little joke at our expense. I don't know if that's what it is. But anyway, there's Ben Shapiro. There's Crystal Ball, in quote marks. And then, of course, there's this European conservative. And they've raised a number of issues, and I'm not going to deal with all of them now. One issue, of course, is that could it be that all these trafficked votes are legal votes that are simply delivered in an illegal way? And the question, of course, is, does that mean that the votes get to be counted? I'm going to address that question, but not today, because I want to take up a question right out of this European conservative. And by the way, just to give you a sense of the tone, they basically say that, you know, to declare this the most secure election in history, they say is journalistic malpractice. To do this right after the election and just some kind of Solomonic pronouncement, they go, without even looking into it, what kind of nonsense is this? And then they say that this film is in a different league than any of the other demonstrations of fraud. They say it uses, quote, a compelling technical analysis. The 2000 Mules film is compelling and deserves a serious conversation. And then they go on to raise a couple of points. And one of them is this. How do we know that these are Biden votes? Because the critique is addressing what we do in the film, which is we kind of do a measure of the harvesting, and then we treat those as fraudulent and illegal votes and subtract them from the Biden total. And so the question raised here is, well, how do we know those were Biden votes? Now, let me say how we can't know. In other words, one way to find out would seem to be to go look at those ballots, and we can't do that. We can't do that for the simple reason, actually pointed out in the movie, that once the ballot is taken out of the envelope has the name, the envelope has the signature, the envelope has the address, there's nothing, the ballot only has the vote. It doesn't have any name, it has no other distinguishing mark. So we can't do it that way. But here are four reasons to believe that these are Biden votes. One, the mules are Antifa BLM types. That's demonstrated in the movie. They're recruited, they're far left-wingers, and this is not exactly a population of Republicans or conservatives. Number two, the organizations involved, the so-called stash houses, all far-left organizations. Again, we didn't put a list of them in the movie. I have the list, so does True the Vote. True the Vote is happy to supply that list to law enforcement. Number three, this examination was conducted in heavily Democratic cities where, by and large, there's no Republican in sight. We're talking here, for example, about inner city Atlanta. We're talking about inner city Philadelphia. We're talking about Milwaukee. We're talking about Detroit. We're talking about heavily urban Democratic areas. Now, there's some suburban areas that are looped into that, but this is not Republican country. And the fourth reason is, who won? In other words, when you're doing shenanigans to get your side over the top, one way to figure out who's doing the shenanigans is by looking to see who crossed the finish line, and we know the answer to that one. In fact, Biden seemed almost serenely confident from the beginning that without campaigning, he had this sewn up, and evidently, in a manner demonstrated by 2,000 mules, he did. Who likes to eat 6 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day? Well, who can realistically do that? Now, Balance of Nature provides that. And their products are 100% natural, vine-ripened, whole food, third-party tested. This is real science, real food, and real nutrition. Debbie and I take 10 daily servings of fruits and veggies. Take a look. All in 6 small capsules. no trouble swallowing, absolutely fresh. They smell great. And Debbie also swears by this, the fiber and spice that keeps her regular. Invest in your health, invest in your life. Join me, experience the balance of nature difference for yourself for years to come. For a limited time, all new preferred customers get an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first balance of nature order. Use discount code BALANCE. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code BALANCE. Debbie has many titles in our relationship, as you know. She has many different responsibilities that are, well, you don't just man the home front. You take care of everything in terms of, you do the light bulbs.
I changed 150 light bulbs.
That's right. She deals with my technical glitches when I'm trying to get on Getter to do my Getter Live.
Yeah.
Can't really get on without you.
Yeah.
And,
I like being helpful.
Yeah, no, yeah. Anyway, one of the things that Debbie does of her very wide portfolio is she kind of is the receptacle of all this feedback that comes through, both through my website, but also you check things out on Facebook. And you were just telling me, what did you see?
Yeah. So a Facebook friend of mine sent me a little screenshot of us on another podcast that we did last week. And he goes, Debbie, you guys are hated by many factions. You will remain in my prayers by name each day.
And the hated is in all caps.
Yeah, the hated is in all caps. So they must be trying to just bring us down. You know, usually that happens when you speak truth and they don't like it. They don't want you to speak truth. And
I think it's also become a problem. Emerald Robinson was talking about this, and I think she's right to this degree. She was saying that this movie is a kind of a problem. It's a problem for Fox News. It's a problem for the GOP establishment. They were hoping not to have to deal with something like this. It was easy for them when they could just write this stuff. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. But when you have all this video evidence, and there are people who are compiling little video snippets.
Well, I tell you every day that we are so apparently our YouTube channel has gotten a lot of views. The podcast has gotten a lot of views in the last week, more than normal.
Well, I mean, ridiculously more.
Ridiculously
what happens
more.
Is that we typically find that there's almost a controlling algorithm that keeps us at like 10,000 views. Now, when I first started the podcast, 60, 80, 130,000 views, and then suddenly, mysteriously, almost overnight, it went down to 10.
Yeah.
And it's like I could never cross 10.
Yeah.
The podcast is seen by a lot of people elsewhere on Apple and Spotify
on
and
YouTube
so on. But on YouTube specifically.
Yeah.
And then suddenly.
Yeah, suddenly last week. It was over 200,000 and then 400,000 views. And so that's a lot. So I'm telling you that the powers that be at YouTube or /Google are going to try to cancel you.
Because they're going to notice the surge.
not to mention that they like to cancel people that, you know.
Not only that, but I mean, it makes them look stupid because they've got all these guidelines which are all dictated by the left. Most secure election in history.
No, but it's not even just that. It's not even just about the election. It's about other issues that are controversial. But they're controversial because there are two sides of the coin.
That's the meaning of the word controversial.
They only want one side. And so there is, and then for people that say there's no censorship, I don't know what they're talking about because there's no censorship on their side at all. They can say whatever they want, but it's on our side that they seem to think that anything we say, any opinion we give cannot be.
I mean, years ago, we had, when I was at the Dartmouth Review, we challenged a professor to debate, right? And he goes, Dinesh, I'm not going to debate the issue because it's very divisive. And I was thinking to myself, that's what a debate
is. Yeah, it's two sides.
That are divided on an issue.
Controversial.
And the implication of this guy's inane statement. But his inane statement has come back to haunt me because it's the premise of all the censorship.
Yeah.
Let's only debate issues on which there's complete unanimity.
Right. Well, let's take God, for example, because you love to debate atheists, right?
Right.
Let's say YouTube decides there's no... They claim there's no God.
Experts tell us. The Biden Ministry of Truth, a Soviet cosmonaut has gone into space and looked around for God, never found him. There's no evidence for God.
Yeah, so
this is what they say about elections.
So
there's no evidence.
But I'm just saying that by the same token, they would basically not have any Christian on the YouTube.
They'd have to take down all my Hitchens debates,
everything,
Daniel Dennett.
Any pastor, any sermon, they would have to take it all down because it's false. In their book, they have decided that there is no God. And so that is the stance they take about pretty much all
what topics. You're really saying is that what the movie's doing is it's putting Fox on trial. It's putting censorship on trial. And so this is why I think this idea that we are a threat is very true. And it's above and beyond the facts directly in the movie. It's we're threatening the whole framework that they have elaborately erected over the last few years to suppress opposition, to create a single...
Well, you know, I told you that I was on a Venezuelan podcast not too long ago, and the host of the podcast was telling me that in every Latin American country that has had a leftist win an election fraudulently, what they do is that they demonize the opposition to the point of making them look and sound crazy. And if they want to debate the issue, if they want to talk about, you know, hey, let's investigate, they put them in prison. They do not let them talk. They make them look like they are conspiracy theorists and just plain crazy. So
what you're saying is the exact same thing.
The exact same thing is, and I told her, I said, listen, you know, those are third world countries, but this isn't.
I love food, and I like to tell you about Moink. Now, that's Moo plus Oink, which gives you Moink. You choose the meat delivered in every box. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better. The investors at Shark Tank were right. This is a delicious way to get fresh meat to your door. We enjoy it, and now that warmer weather is coming around the corner, we're going to be grilling outdoors while we get moinked. Keep American farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Dinesh right now. My listeners are going to get free filet mignon in every order for a year. That's 1 year of the best filet mignon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. It's spelled M-O-I-N-K, moinkbox.com/Dinesh. That's moinkbox.com/Dinesh. One important issue that we've been dealing with since the movie 2000 Mules has been released, and this is something you've been dealing with kind of directly with us, is the issue of piracy. And this is people like, and it's kind of unbelievable. Literally, someone who came to a Mar-a-Lago premiere recorded the movie on it. I don't know if they recorded on their phone, but they started posting the Mar-a-Lago premiere, which was, by the way, a private event. Not private in the sense that you have media there, but it's a media event for the movie. But you're not supposed to release the movie itself at that time.
Well, it's like going to the theater and actually videotaping the movie you're watching.
People do that.
And they do that, but that's illegal.
It's
activity.
Illegal.
So I think, ironically,
it happens with every movie. Now, look, I mean, to be honest, there's a certain part of us that goes, you know why it's happening? Because everybody wants to see this movie.
Yeah.
And I think there are some people who have the view that, you know what, it's totally okay because, like, this movie, like, needs to be seen. So, you know, I'm going to circulate these pirated sites. Let's talk about, I mean, it's bad on a number of fronts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just having this little discussion with somebody on Facebook, you know, and I said, guys, this movie is about illegal activity and you are promoting illegal activity.
And stealing elections and fraud.
And stealing, and you are stealing the movie because it is a, you know, it's not a free-for-all kind of movie.
Well, I mean, let's explain that a little bit more,
yeah,
because what we did in order to fund the movies, we went to Salem Media. Now, let's remember, Salem Media is a public corporation, and that means it has shareholders. It is accountable for investing its money in products that are going to go out into the market and try to return a profit. So I'm not going to nonprofit sources. I'm going to a regular large company and saying, hey, would you like to be our equity investor?
Mm-hmm.
So how do I then explain to them that all kinds of people on our own side are just wildly sharing sharing the movie. By the way, this is a lot of people have seen this movie for free, and Salem is going to be like, wait a minute, what kind of operation is this? You know, so what are you doing to crack down on them? Now, again, I've said before, I'll say it again. You know, if some guy is on, you know, a retirement pension and literally cannot afford, we're opening the movie in the theater, as I mentioned, this Friday. It's going to be what, $12 to get a ticket. I think most people can afford $12, but if you can't afford $12 and you're going to see it on a free site, be my guest. But the mass piracy and sharing of this stuff, I think, is bad. It disrupts our relationship with our investors. It makes it more difficult for me to present my movies as a normal commercial product.
And to be honest, with the last movie, we lost so much money. I mean, so much money that we really thought we could never make another documentary again. And, you know, and I get all these emails. Hey, Dinesh, do a documentary about this. Do a documentary about that. Do a and you know, so many emails. It's really hard to email everybody back and tell them, guys.
We live in a capitalist society. We want a capitalist society. We don't want to have a society where all of this is done by state allocation.
But we wouldn't be getting any money.
The nonprofit world has its own problems because remember, when you're in the nonprofit world, you're essentially you're also a professional beggar. You're a professional mendicant. You are operating at the behest of the donors, and donors are like, do this, do that. Show me the movie so I can tell you how it should end. Yep. Wait a minute, Dinesh, why are you? So in other words, part of the way we maintain our independence in being able to speak boldly is like, we're not beholden to anyone. You know what? You're an investor, but we're trying to make money for you. So we don't really owe you anything above and beyond that. So our editorial independence is driven by being able to have films that function as normal products in the market. What's your sense about how this film is done so far compared to the other films while we've been together? You've kind of seen it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think that it's, first of all, I have never seen so much like interest and traction. And I was getting, and the really funny thing is I was getting all the emails because I manage the website emails, right?
It is kind of funny because people are, they kind of think that I have some team doing it, but it's actually all in the family. And so people will get a note from Debbie and they're like, Debbie, is this Debbie Sousa?
Yeah. Now, sometimes I don't say who I am, but I, you know, sometimes do. But the thing that's crazy is that we were trying to get ready for the premiere. And at the same time, trying to do media, trying to, you know, organize the event, try to do all these other things. So I was like, guys, I cannot email everybody back. This is just crazy. So we had to actually farm it out and have other people.
I mean, it's very understandable because I think what people wanted is a lot of them wanted to do, they want to see the movie in a group and they wanted to do a screening. And of course, we had this very unorthodox strategy, which by necessity, which is we did the virtual premiere, which obviously is an in-home premiere. Yeah. There were only a handful of people there on the site. And then, of course, the digital download and the streaming, which by and large, generally, you're going to do at home as well. And so this is why I'm really excited about this big theatrical release coming this weekend.
Yeah, because people will be able to go as groups and you guys just have at it because the whole week, I think they're dedicating a whole week for it.
As long as the movie does well, it'll keep going. So in other words, this is a normal theatrical. Again, the showings will begin typically, there's going to be something on Thursday night.
Yeah.
But then basically starting at what, 12 noon or so on Friday, all weekend.
If you like matinees, go to the matinee.
Right.
You know, they're.
And if you're part of a group, a Republican group, or just a bunch of your friends, go see it together. This is a perfect occasion to do it, and you won't be sorry. Some of us wish we could rewind the clock when it comes to our health. Hey, exercising, climbing stairs, all the things young people take for granted. These aren't things that have to stop just because you age. Neither do you have to simply endure or suffer from the normal aging aches and pains. Because now, there's a 100% drug-free solution, and it's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. The vast majority of people who try Relief Factor order more because it works for them. Debbie loves using Relief Factor when her shoulder was acting up. Frozen shoulder about a year or so ago. It was the only thing that worked for her. She knows if she stops taking it, pain's going to come right back. So she's like, I'm not going to be without this again. You can also benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more. That number again, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. Feel the difference. The indefatigable Julie Kelly has track down one of the Whitmer kidnapping defendants. This is the guy who got off. He was exonerated because the jury realized that he had been entrapped by the FBI. And Julie has an exclusive interview with this guy. His name is Brandon Caserta. And he's gone through a horrible two-year ordeal involving losing his job, involving incarceration, of course, the familiar FBI raid, the kind of massive demonstration of power, almost a shock and awe type of campaign. So Julie gives a little bit of background. She says that this fellow, Brandon Caserta, was charged along with other defendants, five defendants, Adam Fox, Ty Garbin, Caleb Franks, Barry Croft, and a guy named Daniel Harris. These are the people who were charged. Now, what the interview reveals is the sort of naivete of these guys and how they were targets of the FBI from the beginning. And by the beginning, I mean before the plot was even hatched. That's what's so telling about it. So here's Caserta talking now to Julie. And he says, you know, I was kind of locked down under COVID, quote, I was stuck in my apartment with most of my family out of state. I was just trying to find people to network with. So this is the COVID frustration and the anger, by the way, at the left in imposing these lockdowns. Interestingly, that was a factor here in what got these guys to demonize Whitmer and think, oh, yeah, it'd be kind of cool if we. So these are big talkers. These are guys who, by and large, have difficult lives with not a whole lot going on. And they're looking for other like-minded people who give them a sense of camaraderie. So what happens is this fellow, Brandon Caserta, goes online, and in June, a leader of a group called the Wolverine Watchmen, a self-styled kind of militia group, basically tells Caserta that they are inviting him to firearms training in Michigan. Firearms training. So this guy's like, yeah, I'm in lockdown. I want to get out of the house. Little does he know that it's being organized by a guy named, quote, Big Dan. And guess who Big Dan is? An FBI informant. He is, in a sense, cooking up the plot. So Big Dan, of course, doesn't reveal he's working for the FBI. And here's Caserta. I walked into a terrorism enterprise investigation without my knowledge. Little did he know that this is an investigation that had to be approved at the highest levels of the Department of Justice. And he is almost like a seal moving into a group of sharks. So Big Dan is a guy named Dan Chappelle. And Dan Chappelle brings these guys together to kind of, quote, concoct the plan. It's really obvious from the beginning that this plan would not occur if it wasn't for the FBI. And the FBI designates this other guy named Fox as the organizer of the plot. Well, guess what? This guy is also. So what you find as you read this article is that A goes, you know what? I got to introduce you to this guy. He's going to tell you more about it. He'll do the firearms training. He's working for the FBI. That guy goes, well, I'll introduce you to a guy. He's going to organize our summit. He's going to put everything together. He's going to get us all our IDs. He's going to make all the arrangements. That guy works for the FBI. So the FBI is involved at every stage. And at one point, Julie points out, and this is confirmed by Caserta, the group was sort of losing interest. They were kind of splintering. And so the FBI became alarmed. You know what? Our seals are starting to swim away. So they decided, let's organize an event in Luther, Michigan. And they introduce this little gang to a, quote, old military. Let me introduce you to an old military buddy. This guy was apparently, he called himself Red. And he was supposedly the explosives expert. He was the guy who was like, you know, we don't have to talk. We can actually get this done. Except guess what? Red is working for the FBI. So what you have is, he's another undercover agent. In fact, he is videoing this whole conference. So this is entrapment in the classic definition of the term. You've got these guys. They're not super smart. They don't ask lawyers, hey, should I do this? What's going on here? They don't explore. They don't take prudent steps. And the FBI, by the way, knows that. They're actually going after these guys because it's like, they're staging something for a political theater. What's the political theater? There's an election coming up in early November, and they want a bust in October. Why? To help Whitmer, to help the Democrats, and to hurt Trump. So this, to me, is the Obama corrupted FBI. The FBI now functions as a kind of gang. It's a criminal gang, except it's a criminal gang with badges. And framing people, setting them up, faking evidence. This is sort of what they do. This is their MO. The Whitmer case is the classic exhibit of that. Now, the real question that Julie's work raises and others was the exact same formula then applied to January 6th? I think it is. I don't think that that full demonstration has been made yet, but you can almost see the playbook in the Whitmer kidnapping case. Remember, there are a lot of similarities. There's the same FBI agents involved in both investigations. And so we see in this rather poignant interview with this guy, Brandon Caserta, a guy who's down on his luck, a guy who is angry, obviously somewhat susceptible to extreme ideas, but nevertheless would not have pulled this off, and neither would a lot of the other defendants pulled it off on their own. They needed the FBI to pull it off for them.
Imagine the lifelong impact of a journey to the Holy Land. Surrounded by like-minded travelers, picture yourself stepping foot in iconic locations right out of Scripture. Join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza on this life-enriching Israel tour, November 30th through December 9th, 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or visit standwithisraeltour.com.
I'm continuing my discussion between Dante the Pilgrim and his great-great-grandfather, his ancestor, Cacciaguida. And Cacciaguida is predicting to Dante, telling him, really, what's coming. And what's coming is, of course, exile. You shall be forced to leave behind those things you love most dearly. I mentioned that line the last time, and now I'm continuing. And you will know how salty is the taste of others' bread. How hard the road that takes you down and up the stairs of others' homes. Wow. So this needs a little bit of unpacking. So the Florentines do not put salt in their bread. In fact, they think that salt is a way of trying to make bread that's not that good taste better. Let's make it a little salty. Kind of sometimes cooks do this with food. And the Florentines believe that really good bread doesn't need added salt. It's delicious on its own. So here's Cacciaguida saying, you, Dante, you know, you're going to have to start eating salty bread, which the Florentines consider to be inferior bread. And notice, of course, that in using this image of bread, this is a very biblical image, the bread of life, the bread being the host. So the idea of bread as your sustenance, not just for life, you need bread to live. But there's also man does not live by bread alone. There's the idea that you need spiritual bread. And so Dante is going to be, in some ways, also a spiritual exile. He's going to have to come to terms with that. And then the beautiful image, how hard the road that takes you down and up the stairs of others' homes. It's not just the exertion of going up and down. It's the sense that I'm not home. I mean, it's not that I'm going home. You're never going to be going home, Dante. This is now your life. This is the way it is. This is not your house. And then you're going to go to someone else's house that's also not your house. And it'll keep like that. But what will weigh you down the most will be the despicable, senseless company whom you shall have to bear in that sad veil, and all ungrateful, all completely mad and vicious, they shall turn on you. And then it will be to your honor to have become a party of your own. Now, this is a very remarkable statement by Cacciaguida. What he's saying to Dante is, you, along with your fellow Guelphs, the white Guelphs, are going to be in hiding. And you're going to notice that those people, your own side, are nuts. And you're going to notice that they are dangerous, and they will stop at nothing, and they're going to be infuriated at being pushed out, and they're going to be ready to do whatever it takes to come back in. And you're going to find yourself in that corrupt and gangsterish company. And so what Cacciaguida is telling Dante is, you are probably better off, even though you've been a Guelph all your life, and this is your team. And however, you might want to consider isolating yourself from your own team. You might be better off just being on your own. It will be to your honor to have become a party of your own. Now, the reason for Dante to become a party of his own is not just not to be recruited into bad schemes, but also because Dante has a mission. And what is the mission? Well, it's none other than to write the poem. And in order to write the poem, Dante cannot be a partisan. He cannot be writing this poem as the propaganda for the Guelphs against the Ghibellines or something like that. He has to be a lone voice. The motto at Dartmouth is Vox Clamantis in Deserto, a voice crying in the wilderness. This is an appeal, by the way, to John the Baptist. Here's Cacciaguida to Dante. Do not resort to lies. Let what you write reveal all you have seen. Though when your words are taken in at first, they may taste bitter, but once well digested, they will become a vital nutriment. So here's Cacciaguida saying to Dante, write the truth. Don't hold back. Don't spare anybody. Tell it like you see it. And you see it here in a double meaning, not just tell your perspective, tell it like you saw on your journey through Inferno and Purgatorio and Pear. Tell the story. Tell it the best way you can. And although it might offend people, what? You're putting popes in hell? What? You have this irreverent, unsparing attitude. You are ruthless in the way that you expose human iniquity and human sin. And Cacciaguida is like, go for it. Do not hold back. And even though it might be a little bit tough to swallow, because not only are people seeing others in hell, they realize, you know what? I'm like that. I'm like Farinata. I'm like Brunetto Latini. And so people see themselves, and then a little bit of that kind of defensive rage is directed at Dante. Dante is the one who exposes them. He holds a mirror in front of them. Cacciaguida was, you might remember, in life a crusader. And what he's asking Dante here to do is to become a crusader also. Now, a different kind of crusader. Cacciaguida was a crusader, you may say, of the sword. Dante is going to be a crusader of the pen, and his crusading work is the Divine Comedy itself. In this segment, I'll conclude my discussion of Cacciaguida, and then we will move from the circle of Mars, the circle of courage, to Jupiter, the circle of justice. And we're going to see that that's a fascinating and very deep part of the Divine Comedy. But here we are in the circle of Mars. And interestingly, Cacciaguida contrasts the early church in Florence with the church the way it is in Dante's own time. And he flays the corruption. Now, this is one of Dante's favorite themes. Dante generally draws a close analogy between the sacred and the secular. If he's talking about the importance of law in society, he will then talk about the importance of law in the church. If he's talking about corruption and wickedness in society, he does not hesitate to then say, let's look at the corruption and wickedness in the church. If he's attacking secular leaders, the Holy Roman Emperor, not exactly a secular leader, but you know what I mean, someone operating in the secular space, he does not hesitate to flay bishops and popes and cardinals and call them to account. And that's what happens here in a very interesting way. Here's Cacciaguida. Remember that Peter and Paul, who died to save the vineyard you despoil. The person being addressed here is the church and its leadership. So the church and its leadership are despoiling the vineyard. Well, whose vineyard is it? It's Peter and Paul's vineyard. And what Cacciaguida is saying, remember that Peter and Paul, who died to save the vineyard you despoil, still live. In other words, it's not like Peter and Paul are gone and you can now take the inheritance and ruin it. Peter and Paul are in heaven. They can see what's going on. And his point is that they, in a sense, participate in that divine accountability that's going to say to the church, what did you do with our inheritance? Let's go back to the story in Scripture, the story of the talent. What did you do with the talents I gave you? What did the church do with what Peter and Paul set up for it to do? And then in a very kind of wily twist, Cacciaguida goes, but you will answer, This is Cacciaguida mimicking the answer of the church. I, who have my heart so set on him who chose to live alone and for a martyr's crown was danced away. This is one of those Dante allusions that requires a little bit of work. Who chose to live alone? Well, as it turns out, John the Baptist. John the Baptist went into the desert. He lived alone. He ate locusts. So Dante doesn't name John the Baptist, but he alludes to him. And how do we know for sure? Because of the next line. And for a martyr's crown was danced away. Let's remember that in the biblical story, how did John the Baptist get killed? How was he executed? He was executed because this dancing Salome was the one who performed this dance for the emperor. And then the emperor's like, I'll give you whatever you want. And she goes, I want the head of John the Baptist on a plate. So Dante is referring to the dance. He danced his life away, John the Baptist. And what Cacciaguida is alluding to here is that apparently in this time in Florence, the Florentine coin, the gold florin, had a picture of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, just like we have, you know, dollar bills and $100 bills with Ben Franklin and then Abraham Lincoln, apparently John the Baptist appeared on the Florentine coin. And so what Cacciaguida is doing, he's now mimicking the leader of the church. They go, well, we may not like Peter and Paul, but we like John the Baptist. And of course, Cacciaguida's point is you don't care about John the Baptist. You like John the Baptist because he's on the gold florin. In other words, it's kind of like someone saying, well, I like Benjamin Franklin. Well, you don't like Benjamin Franklin. You like $100 bills on whom Benjamin Franklin's face appears. So this is Cacciaguida mocking the corruption of the church. And then he goes on, you know nothing of your fisherman or Paul. So the idea here is that the church has abandoned its mission. What Dante is really doing here is he's calling not just for individual reform. He does want his readers to look at themselves and look at their own life. So moral reformation is part of Dante's project here. But Dante also knows that societies go awry, not just because individuals fall off, but because there's bad leadership. And so a constant theme in the Divine Comedy is leadership. In fact, sometimes in later years, in fact, in recent generations, you've had these so-called new critics, left-wingers mostly, they read Dante, they go, well, this is very disappointing, because all that Dante talks about are kings and bishops and popes. He doesn't really focus on the ordinary guy. Well, Dante's reason for that is that it is leaders, the Pied Pipers of our society, who lead people off the precipice. In other words, the problem with society is not so much the ordinary guy. It's bad people in Congress. It's bad people in leadership. It's bad people who steer, you may say, the ship off course, or to take the train off the track. And so Dante's emphasis on leadership is because leaders are responsible not just for themselves, but also ultimately for the for what their own followers do in imitation of the defects and corruption and wickedness of the leaders themselves.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.